Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Actually, Michael's not with us today. Dr. Tim Hayes is their host. And we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number, I guess I should tell you what day it is. We have really had a challenge here, so hold the space for us. Today is Monday, December the 8th, 2014. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We have had such a challenge. Hi, Dr. Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. I just talked to Michael a few moments ago, and, you know, we found a van, a newer model than what we had. For those of you that don't know, our engine messed up in our van, which we've only had for 2 years. And so we had to get another one. And Michael found one. It happened to be in St. Louis. So Sunday when we finished in Wilmington, North Carolina, he flew up to St. Louis and they met him there with the van. And he was going to have dinner with his daughter and then drive back and get back here sometime today. He was going to spend the next 2 days moving everything over from the old van to the new van and get on the road so we could be in Panama City, Florida by Friday or Saturday. Well, he called me a moment ago, and he said the lights started coming on the van, and it was acting weird and doing all this stuff, and he hadn't gotten but about an hour, I guess, outside of St. Louis, and so he called the people, and they had it towed back. They had changed the oil in the oil filter for us so that that would be all fresh, because that's pretty expensive in those vans, and the people that changed the oil filter broke something and didn't tell anybody and just put the new filter in, put the new oil in, and let him go. Well, I don't know what it did, but anyway, it blew the engine. So Michael is now with the dealer, and they're going around looking to see if they can find something. And said if they couldn't, they would fly him back here. But take a deep breath. So
what's the story
in this? Why is this happening to us again? Does that sound familiar?
Yes, but I would encourage you not to worry about why it's happening. Just breathe and find that space of love and radiate that out, and everything else will work its way out as it does.
Yeah, it will. It will. So anyway, we welcome you to the show. Thank you, Dr. Tim, for filling in when I called and asked if you could fill in for him today. This had not happened yet, so it was just that Michael's connection wasn't clear on the road. So there was a reason for asking you to do that, too. And so thank you for being so willing to step in on such short notice.
It's a privilege. I count it as an honor, and I encourage you to just do some more breathing. And as we often would tell callers to the show, figuring it out is the trap of the egoic mind that's trying to do what spiritual faculties can only do. And in the middle of the worksheet process, there is a thing where David Bohm talked about this. Krishnamurti and David Bohm were on the same page and said, we create a problem with our thoughts, and then we decide we better think our way out of it. And pretty soon, we've turned the problem into a prison, And then we're trying to think our way out of the prison, which we created with our thoughts, which makes the prison walls thicker and stronger and the bars stronger. And so frequently we encourage people to stop, take a breath, give up the need to try and figure it out. Why is this happening to me again? Take a breath. Ask to be shown the hidden part of your mind after you've canceled any goals you might have for it to be different. And then focus on the most loving thoughts you can focus on. And, you know, it's so powerful to realize you can be in the middle of the worst of the worst. How are we going to get there? How are we going to pay for that? How? And if you just stop and realize, oh, I'm doing it again. There goes my carbon-based memory and my sustained incoherence. Let me just think the most loving thoughts I can think about my children, my kittens, my latest success at work, my parents, if I love them. Let me think, breathe, focus on, and expand the thoughts which create the sensation within me that is aliveness and joy. And step by step, worksheet by worksheet, we demonstrate to ourselves that we never have to depend on the circumstances around us to change in order for us to choose to feel better in the moment. Never. And I know sometimes I talk like this and people say, wait a minute, it's easy for you, you know, you're living in a nice country, there's no war, you've got enough money to pay your bills, but you know, what about in these places where there's disease and death and war and people in prison who don't belong there? And well, I have to acknowledge that it's a lot harder to do this work if my conditioning teaches me that my outside events are responsible for my feelings. And it's a lot harder to do this work if I'm not practiced in it when the outside events seem to be barraging me with reasons to feel angry and bitter and resentful, physical pain, etc. However, you don't have to believe what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, we encourage you not to believe it. But breathe through this and think about things like Nelson Mandela, and they put him in prison. As a political prisoner, he hadn't done anything to harm anybody. He hadn't been violent. He hadn't stolen anything. He didn't belong there except for the fact that he was speaking against the current government, which was driven by hatred and greed. And he wasn't there for just a few hours or a few days or a few weeks or a few months. He was there for many years. And in that place, he decided to choose for love. He decided to hold loving thoughts and feelings about his captors. So there are many, many examples where it's happened. We can, if we will open our eyes to it, we can demonstrate to ourselves that we've done it. But we can lose track of that, and we can buy into the culture's conditioning, and we can get all fretted out, worried about this deadline and that. And this work that we're here to talk about and support people doing this radio show is about getting focused and getting centered within and find the most loving thoughts you can, reconnect to the true nature of yourself. And in that moment where you start to feel loving feelings, you may get there even before you cancel goals. And if you do, you've just demonstrated to yourself that you aren't dependent upon any outside conditions changing in order for you to feel better. But if you're like most of us, there's such momentum going behind this negative thought process and behind our desire to have the goals that we've set and to hold on to them despite the fact that in the holding on to them, we're either creating more stress and tension, or we're hiding from ourselves the actual source of our stress and tension and pain. And if we will just stop and take a few deep breaths and learn to cancel those goals and learn to focus internally and realize everything I'm feeling is being created from the inside out. And how many times have I been in a situation where I never could imagine, how is this going to work out? Oh my gosh, doom and gloom, the worst thing ever. This, I didn't deserve this. Why? How many times have I been through those and survived? And yet, even on the other side of it, have something far better than I could have imagined before. And in each moment that I do that, I give myself another opportunity to learn the core of this work. I just successfully dismantled from within myself what didn't belong there. And that's forgiveness from the ancient Aramaic. I dismantled what didn't belong within my thoughts, within my energy system. I canceled the goal. I put away my trifling treasures. And I made a clear and open space within my heart and mind's energy system for love, for Christ, for the one mind to come, for the Holy Spirit to be present and show me the next right step. So thank you, Jeannie, for modeling for us the need that we all have.
Thank you.
And if you want access to a tool like that, because there's a wonderful tool that Michael and Jeannie have made available through the website, it's www.whyagain.org. And if you click on the red and white bullseye or on the link on the front page that says Start Here, it'll take you to a page where you can download the most recent version of the worksheet. Chapter 24 of Michael's book, which explains this whole process and why it's important. And a lot of different audio files of shows like this where Michael and Jeannie have stepped people through this process. Real people calling in with real problems, just like Jeannie and Michael are looking at right now. And starting with anger or fear or sadness or guilt or shame or terror, and stepping them through the worksheet process, and you can listen in and learn how a simple process, which is outlined on 7 steps on a worksheet, can move someone from a level 8 or 10 upset to peace and calm in a 15, 20 minute, 30 minute process. So, and that's while they're learning it. That's the, you know, for many of these people in those calls, it's they hadn't done it before. And so it only takes the 15 or 20 or 30 minutes because they're learning a whole new process. Once you learn it, you can do the forgiveness process in a few minutes. So it's a pleasure to be on the team, and it's a joy to be able to support you and Michael in this effort to bring these tools to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And I'll ask if we've got anybody in the chat room or anybody with a hand up with a question.
We do have a hand up, and I think it might be Jim at Heartland. 417, you're on the air.
Yes, it is Jim from Heartland. How are you, Jeannie?
Well, I'm breathing. Did you hear the intro part?
Well, no, and I heard just the very tail end of it. I was on the phone with Inger in Norway, who you know, and just missed the first couple of minutes. So I wanted to call in and see if my background in the automobile industry might be of help. It sounded like what I heard was that the vehicle that I'm surmising here, that the vehicle that Michael flew to St. Louis for was no longer available when he got there?
Well, it was available, and he drove it for about an hour, hour and a half or something like that, and all the lights, engine lights and oil lights and all that stuff started coming on, and they ended up towing it back and checking, and when they changed the oil and changed the oil filter, they broke some small piece. It didn't bother telling anybody or fixing it. They just went ahead and put the new oil filter and oil in it. And so I guess it, I don't know, floods the engine or I don't know what it does. Anyway, it blew the engine. And so the dealer is actually going with Michael, taking him around, I guess, to see if they can find another one. And if they can't, then the dealer at least, you know, is kind enough. He said he'd fly him home. So, you know, it's just there's a purpose and a reason. And, you know, it's once we get one and get it here in Tennessee, then we have the task of taking all the cabinets and shelves and everything out of the old one, reinstalling them in the new one, and then reloading everything, which if anybody has seen our van, it's loaded to the hilt. So that's a couple of days' worth of work. And we had my stepson and my son and different people that were planning on taking tomorrow off in order to help us do that. And now it doesn't even look like Michael's going to get here probably till sometime late tomorrow. So they've got to also shift their schedules around to – anyway.
Well,
Wednesday, it's supposed to be in the 20s and snowing here. So, I mean, who knows?
And so your stuff is up? What a surprise.
It's well, you know, repacking the van is always worksheet material for me. So it's like, you know, I really think I could have done this without a little extra push on it. So now I get to do 50 worksheets on the van and repacking it instead of just 10.
Well, not to take up the whole radio show with car talk. I mean, there is a program on Saturday morning called Car Talk that's very entertaining, by the way. But my highest thought, my 1,000 years of experience in the automobile industry tells me, it sounds to me like the universe is sending a real, real strong message. I know that you and Michael have had at least two of these sprinters and possibly a third one. And there have been major problems with them, and now going to buy this third or fourth one, and I realize the value of the space and the diesel engine and all of that. But for me, if it were me, the universe is sending me a strong message. I need to buy something other than a sprinter. That's my highest thought.
I agree. I'm in Tennessee. Give Michael a call and maybe, you know, he's heard it from me already that I don't trust him now. And so
well,
maybe
I mean,
if he hears it from you, he'll hear it again.
What could be a stronger message than when you're out road testing one for an hour, the engine seizes, and the reason you were there was because the one you just came out of the engine seized. I mean,
So you've got Michael's number. Give him a call because he's in St. Louis and I'm down here in Tennessee. So I had to bring my dad's car back. We had borrowed his car so we could do Wilmington. So I brought it back to Bristol. And so we're in two totally different locations. But anyway.
Okay, and a woman named Claudia, who I think you know, has volunteered. She lives about 5 hours from Bristol. She has volunteered to help unload and reload the van.
I think
Julie told me about that this morning, so I'm just passing it along to you. And Julie had suggested that she call Michael. I don't know whether she has or not, but I was just giving you a heads up on that. And just on another topic, more related to the radio show, I myself have been working on a worksheet for over an hour this morning on an issue that came up, and I am stuck like I've never been stuck before, and I don't want to take up time on the radio show. I just want to share a thought. I've reached out to somebody who does a lot of worksheets who's going to help me work through this because I realize, you know, well, with all the worksheets I've done, I've never been stuck like I feel stuck with this one. And what awareness that creates for me is that this must be one huge block of blockage of truth, or I wouldn't be stuck like I'm stuck. So I just wanted to share with the listening audience that when that happens,
well,
reach
Jim,
out to somebody.
Jim, you're worth the time, so allow us on the show. Nobody else has their hand up, and there's nothing going on that needs to be answered in the chat room. So just process there with Dr. Tim.
Okay. Dr. Tim, I want to acknowledge you for all the invaluable input and insights you have contributed to the show. You and I haven't really talked directly, but I really appreciate you.
Well, I I thank you for that. And I don't want to take up the radio show with all that. What's your issue? Let's help everybody by helping you through this issue, because we all learn when one of us learns.
Okay. Well, it was brought to my attention this morning that when I was asked if it was okay for somebody to give me feedback, I gave that permission. And then when I got the feedback, I was told today, this is a conversation that took place a couple of weeks ago, but I was told today by that person that I acted defensively, and I own that and admit that I was defensive. And at the same time, in my, Course in Miracles says, in my defenselessness lies my security. I guess I haven't quite learned that lesson yet. But anyway, when the conversation took place a couple of weeks ago, the comment was made that their perception was, they had a different reality around the issue we were discussing, and I won't get into the details of it, but, and I said, well, yeah, I have a different, when they said they have a different reality about it, that triggered upset in me, and that's when I got defensive, and my reality definitely was different, because my evidential mind told me that what they were suggesting was inaccurate. And, and it's that two sides of the coin thing, upper and lower path, and neither one of us are wrong, but one is right and one is not right. And so the dilemma for me is, how do I show up as not being defensive when I have facts that I want to present that will help the observer who's giving me feedback,
person who's wrong,
help the observer have information that I have that they don't have. That's
okay. So the first step is you're saying I'm feeling very defensive,
right?
And when you're doing the worksheet on this, what
I wasn't,
what's
I,
the
I wasn't,
the actual content I'm, of the worksheet that you're so stuck on?
Well, where I'm stuck is on 6B. I mean, everything was going along swimmingly up until 6B. And, my feelings, 6A is I now feel, and I wrote the same, because I don't feel better or worse. I just feel the same.
And you didn't get any great insight?
No. And that's why I'm stuck. And so, 6B is, what do I now see about 1C? And I'm not seeing anything. I'm not there. It's huge.
Okay, so one of the things, and this comes up on a regular basis in our support group when people are doing worksheets, sometimes people are distraught because the worksheet doesn't reveal a level of shift that they want to have.
Right.
So they'll get, and what was your upset level when you began the worksheet?
6.
All right. And what was the emotion that you were feeling?
Anger.
Okay. And so you're still feeling a level 6 anger, is that correct? When you think about that situation?
No, I really don't, Dr. Tim.
Okay. Now, you don't have to get defensive. just report what you're feeling. What did happen when you canceled the goal? What was the goal that you had in this worksheet?
Bear with me one second. I just dropped it. One second. Oh, shucks. Sorry. My goal was to see that the person's communication was inaccurate and actually has a negative effect.
All right, so did you have a goal for yourself in this worksheet or for the other person?
For the other person.
And your goal for the other person was that they would see themselves as inaccurate?
Yeah, that they would correct their perceptual reality and see that their reality is not accurate, does not match actuality.
Okay. And what were the thoughts you were using to create the anger?
That person was taking a one-up position and claiming they knew better about the issues than I did.
Okay.
And that they had judgments of me around that issue.
Okay, so the goal that you set really wouldn't wipe out all of the gunk you're going to create with those thoughts.
Okay.
So part of the issue that would help you get a better result in this worksheet is to be more focused. In other words, by the time I listened to the various thoughts you had there,
right,
you probably have enough thoughts there for at least two, if not three, different worksheets.
I would agree.
And if you take each thought separately, it will resonate a different emotion.
Okay.
So one of them might be indignation. One of them might be anger. One of them might be sadness. You know, if you feel that they're taking a one-up position, how do you feel when someone takes a one-up position on you? So we don't have to get into that right now. This is just for if you go back and you choose to tease out other worksheets out of this, then that's what you would do. You could take each of those thoughts you just listed and find out which different flavor of emotion comes from which thought. And remember, in our worksheet process, we try and do one emotion per worksheet.
Understood.
So if this person did your goal of seeing, you know, correcting their perception, they might still take a one-up position on you.
That's possibly true.
Right? So you see how the goal that you set is only going to satisfy a part of where you're stuck and the thoughts that you're using to create these various emotions. So that's one thing. The next thing is, anytime you do a worksheet like this, and you get to the end and you breathe, you cancel the goal, and you ask to be shown the hidden part of your mind that's actually creating the upset, in this case, the anger, and then you feel kind of blank. Is that what happened? You didn't see or feel anything new?
Exactly.
Okay. One thing you can do, the quickest fix for this is finish it by writing, I feel the same, and what I see is I'm blank. And then put a loving goal in and move to your next worksheet. This is where I was talking about. This happens on a regular basis in our support group. People get stuck thinking, I have to make this sheet of paper and this process transform my mood, transform my thought, fix this problem. Whereas now you've turned, when did you start this worksheet?
Now about 2 hours ago.
Okay, so you've turned this into
I haven't been working for 2 hours, but I spent a good 45, 50 minutes on it, stuck.
Right, but here you are 2 hours later still churning around it and talking about it. And so that's one good quick fix is just finish it and say, I went unconscious. Okay, now the next time I pick up a worksheet on this and I put a loving goal in place, the next time I pick up a worksheet on this, I can do it on going unconscious, or I can go back and look at teasing out several different emotions for this one worksheet process and make each of them a separate worksheet. I give myself permission to breathe, set a loving goal, and move on. if I said the words that I cancel my goal for this other person to change their perception, that does something in my mind. Now, if I set a goal for the transformation I feel to be different than what I'm feeling, I'm setting a trap for myself. I'm not allowing it to just be what it was. And this worksheet can be good enough, even though it doesn't completely transform my anger. So, if you just breathe into that, that's one step. So now
Right.
we have two different approaches you can take to this worksheet to get you moving. One is you can tease out several different worksheets and make one thought per worksheet and then one emotion per worksheet. And the other one is you can leave it just as it is and say it's all good just the way it is. I just went a little unconscious here. I breathe into that, set a loving goal, and move on. Now, in this next level of work, when you get somebody outside of you to coach you, they might say something to you like, "Wow, Jim, when in the past in your life has it been especially triggering when you thought someone was taking a one-up position on you? Does it maybe go back to a primary relationship with one of your power people? Does it maybe go back to a previous relationship with a romantic involvement or a business involvement?" Take a look at that and breathe as you think about that, and you might have just uncovered a power person dynamic. Or you might have just uncovered an old wound from an intimate relationship. So breathe and soften and notice what comes up, and then decide from there what to do next. Do you start doing a worksheet on the power person dynamic? Do you maybe do a mind shifter that says it's safe and healing for me, and I gain lots of personal growth when people take a one-up position in my relationships? And just breathe. And maybe you'll decide to do a mind shifter.
Well, I did a mind shifter when I was stuck. I was stuck for 10 or 15 minutes and thought, well, let me try a mind shifter. And I wrote a mind shifter that's probably going to make you chuckle because I'm not sure it's the right mind shifter. The one you just suggested seems more appropriate. But the mind shifter I wrote, and when I wrote it, I thought, this is crazy. But I said, well, let me just see what flows out of my pen as a result of this. And the mind shifter I wrote is, it is safe and healing for me to be defensive. I thought that would get a chuckle.
Yeah, well,
is that not a mind shifter?
Oh, that's a mind shifter, but what it will do is help you resonate all of the reasons that you already have for being defensive. And from your intellectual position, you understand that being defensive is never going to help you. I mean, you just finished quoting from A Course in Miracles, which says you're absolute safety comes from being defenseless, from complete vulnerability.
For me, it's one of the best lessons I got out of The Course in Miracles, and it's a lesson I have not yet learned, obviously.
So yeah, you know, you can make anything a mind shifter, and as you keep writing that mind shifter that says it's safe and healing for me to be defensive, what you'll do is resonate all the thoughts in your mind that say, yeah, be defensive. Yeah, and you'll get all kinds of good egoic thought. Well, I mean, I use the word good advisedly. Solidly egoic thought to reinforce why it's okay for you to be be defensive in that mind shifter.
Yeah, well, there was some of that. I wrote one full page as a result of just writing that mind shifter once. And there were some things, obviously, that, as you say, you know, supported that belief that it's okay. And there were other things that come up that were helpful.
Okay, so the question I have for you is, if you stop and you breathe right now and you focus on some of the questions I've asked you, breathing into Is this a power person dynamic?
Yes.
Did I have a power person who was always one up me and didn't want me to be right, or they always had to be right? And if that's the case, what did they do that I liked the least?
Well, I've talked about this many times over the years, and it was my dad when I was young, and he was very handy, worked around the house, carpentry and what have you, and whenever I was there at his elbow to help him, no matter what I did, he would always, his famous line, a memorable line for me was, let me show you a better way to do that. And he used to say, and I wish I knew as little about it as you do. Talk about sarcasm. I can't tell you the dozens and dozens of times he said that when I was young. I wish I knew as little about it as you do.
Okay, so what you're saying is what your power person did that you hated the most was insist that he was right and the other person was wrong. And he insisted
Correct.
That if you would just give up your perception and your thought and buy into what he was trying to tell you, everything would be better.
Correct.
And that's exactly what you're saying is your position right now for this other person in the worksheet.
Oh, what a surprise.
So breathe.
Thanks for holding that mirror up. I needed to see that for sure. And I'm not making a lot of it.
Okay, you're laughing and talking, but breathe into that.
Yes.
You are doing, in this interaction with this other person, exactly what you hated the most when your father did it to you.
Unquestionably.
And just breathe and understand that just like the situation we were talking about with Jeannie and Michael and the truck, nothing about who's right or who's wrong has to change in order for you to reconnect to your true nature as love and breathe and feel your essence right now in this moment. Just breathe. You don't have to work through the power person issue. You don't have to do a worksheet. Breathe and tap into, oh, I was just doing to this other person what my power person did that I hated. And I can breathe into that and still realize my true nature is love, think the most loving thoughts I can think, and cancel any goals for anything to be different. I cancel my goal for me to be different or anyone or anything else to change. And just think the most loving thoughts you can and get grounded here. Oh, yeah, I'm doing a power person dynamic. And I can be okay, even though I just did a power person dynamic.
Wow. I've got just a wave of emotion just come up for me.
Good. Breathe into it. You don't have to put any words to it. You can if you want, but breathe. It's much more important for you to stay with it and feel it. And keep trying to stir up that loving energy, the most loving thoughts you can, because that's what does the healing. That's why it's in several places on the worksheet. Reconnect to that loving energy. And then you prove to yourself that you can do that all day, every day, anytime, without the need for any outside conditions to change. And then you start building your strength of the habit of remembering your true nature. And
wow,
then you open
this is,
it's what?
This is very, very helpful. It's not a thing that I've done before, although I'm sure I've heard it. But I'm hearing it for the first time.
Well, we're into allowing, and we're into surrender. And you may have heard enough talks from Michael to hear him say, you know, people really don't want to hear about surrender. but we're always surrendering either to our anger, fear, sadness, hurt, blame, shame, condemnation, or guilt, or we're surrendering to love. And so this is about allowing, oh, I allow myself to be aware that I just did a power person dynamic with some other person, and I hated it when my dad did it to me, and it's very uncomfortable to realize I'm doing it to somebody else. Okay, I'm going to allow that and breathe, and in that very moment, reconnect to the most loving thoughts I can. And I'm going to surrender to the energy of those loving thoughts. And just know that's the source of life, that's the source of healing, and my ego doesn't have to be anywhere around in order for me to feel loving, in order for me to integrate these energies differently. And then notice what comes up in you, and notice how different the space is that you're operating from now. And then ask yourself, okay, what feels like the most loving thing for me to do right now? Stop and breathe for a while. Do I decide to just get on with my day, knowing I have some things to do? If I got them done, I'd feel better if they were done. Do I give myself time to sit and do a worksheet, or do I give myself time to do a mind shifter? What's the most loving thing that you can do for yourself right now? From that
still
space.
Still point breathing is what comes up for me, and that's what I'm going to do when I get off the call.
I would be happy to support you in doing that.
Yeah, it's been probably the most effective tool of all the tools I've learned from Michael over the years.
Okay, well, get out of your head right now and just decide that's what you're going to go do. Stay in touch with those emotions, and I support you in just asking any other questions if you have them, but most importantly, just going for that breath. And if you need to, the archive will be available before long, and you can go back and listen to what was most useful, but do something loving for Jim, even though he just blasted somebody with a power person dynamic and tried to defend it. And we still want to just reconnect with how loving, how totally loving, loved, lovable, and loving forever that Jim is.
Wow. Jim, I can't thank you enough. And Jeannie, thank you for suggesting that I avail myself of this opportunity. I thank you both. God bless. I love you both.
You're entirely welcome and deserving. Enjoy.
Absolutely.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So, Jeannie, how are you?
I am good. I'm. It definitely can bring up frustration. And like I said, packing the van is always a worksheet material for me anyway. But it has definitely been a challenge, and it was just like, oh. So I did send a text that Jim's still listening. I sent a text to Michael and said, Jim said the same thing I said the other day. Apologies if this adds stress to an already stressful situation, but perhaps the universe is saying, get something besides a sprinter. But anyway, we do have another caller.
Okay, but before you do that, let me just remind you that even though you're doing this show, it's okay to breathe and cancel the goal to have anything go well with the packing. And it's okay to tap into your most loving thoughts.
Well, I am super glad that it happened before he got more than an hour or so away from the dealership. And
yeah,
then it happened before we got it packed.
Exactly.
Or we'd be
exactly.
Doing it again.
So sit in that energy. What a relief. What a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, if you have another caller, I suppose we have another 14 minutes or so.
Yeah. So it's area code 541. You're on the air.
I'm not hearing anything. Are you, Jeannie?
No, I'm not. Let me try to click them again.
My headphones. Am I coming
you are.
Now?
Hi, Julia. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Well, interesting. My headphones are acting up, or I am, or something. Well, okay, here I have. I worked on something similar, and I'm not done with it, but I was noticing little ways that my integrity was getting a little out, like it was dark at night when I was walking my dog and I didn't see where I needed to clean up, and so I just left it. And so little things like that set me into a direction of little misses of integrity because of my own belief system. Okay, so then that escalates, that keeps building, and bigger things happen, and I won't go into them except for I have a new roommate who has a dog, and I've taken it upon myself to teach them and train them on how to train their dog, because this is their first dog and they don't have a clue in many respects. And I have, I have a lot of experience since 40 years probably now of having a dog. So I think I know the right way to do everything. And I was really interfering with him and his process, and I started to realize that it's not my place to have him do things the way I know is the best way. It's his discovery and his dog and his relationship. And so I finally wrote him a note, a card with a picture of a dog and everything, and it was like a mind shifter. I kind of spilled out all the stuff, the attitude that I had, until I finally located my goal, and my goal to have him do it my way. And so I wrote him a really responsible card, and I found myself getting in touch with the commitment things, I don't know what to call them, essays that Michael wrote. Commitment to myself and my commitment to you. And so I needed to apologize in such a way that upheld me and communicated the realizations that I'd had and how I was going to make it different. And we had gone for about 24 hours of avoidance and discomfort and silence, and just I knew he was suffering, and I admitted that I was too. And so I knew that if I did this work that I could change the energy and then at least have it be an energetic opening for him. So as soon as I finished writing my letter to him and had it ready to give to him, I was just going to place it somewhere where I knew he'd see it. I come out of my door, and there he is saying, "I'd really like to talk." So he had reached the point of readiness, too. And I said, "Okay, well, here, I just finished writing this, and maybe this will be an opening." And so he read it, and we hugged, and it just totally changed things. And we haven't even had to talk about it, because I really got that he needed an apology from me. And there was going to be this power struggle of, getting it from me, and like a demand, which kind of destroys the whole actual apology if you're having to manipulate it. So I knew he was caught in his patterns of silence and processing and all of that, and I decided that I could use my highest skills to alleviate it. And I was confronted when I wrote my letter. I had to do three drafts. I was confronted with my need to be right, and I don't know now anymore what it was, but it was such a great process, and it did work. And I recognize now that all that we really, I know I'm committed to asking of myself to use my highest skills in any given moment at any given time, and then let that shift the energy. So this man who called in, I can't remember his name, but I really appreciate Dr. Tim, you and he working through that. And Jeannie, I have a lot of empathy with you. I know I've seen how much stuff you have to carry, and it's not just quantity, it's heavy paper kind of things. It's really heavy. And so I hold the space for it to lighten up for you. And I appreciate that we all can be a support to each other in lightening our loads.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. That's a good example.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out well for you.
Mm-hmm, thanks. Thanks for letting me share. Any suggestions on my next worksheet? Did you hear any language glitches or anything?
Oh, there's all kinds of language glitches, but we can't call you on all of those.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you.
I'm glad that you were willing to put it in your perspective and that you noticed that when you did, it shifted the energy and there he is. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it just it reminds me of how on a large scale in the world, this is where our power really is to change the world we want to see. And so I can't keep track of what's going on everywhere in the world. But in my immediate world, if I make this shift by choosing and having willingness, then I trust that it ripples out and does good. Instead of holding a grudge or holding an energy of aggravation and debate and forcing my will, you know, to have him train his dog my way, you know. So.
Yep. Nice work.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks for the
maybe
call. Have enough. All right. And good luck, Jeannie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we have about 7 minutes. We've got time to take another caller. If you press one, you're first in line without waiting.
Is there any
646?
Comment or question in the chat room?
We were actually just kind of being funny. There's little icons, you know, that you can put like smiley faces and hearts and things like that. And so Angela had said love exchanges all around and sending love to Jim and Julie and everybody. And also she had said at your introduction that you knew the work so well and she was so moved by all that you were sharing and everything that she was actually in tears. But then when we did the love exchanges, there's this icon with these big, bright, wide eyes on it. And I said, oh, it looks like Ari's eyes doing a love exchange. And so anyway, we were just kind of chit-chatting.
All right. Well, as you said, we've got another 6 minutes left. If somebody has a question or a comment, we'd love to.
And a hand just went up.
All right.
Awesome. 607, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeannie, how you doing? It's Richard in Ithaca.
Hey, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Long time no hear is C.
Yeah, where have you been? Have you moved yet to Theodosia?
No. But anyway, I've hadn't been listening to the show much recently just because I was involved in some other stuff, and I just started listening again recently, and again, it's always a pleasure to hear what's going on. And again, I would like to say compliment Dr. Tim on his handling of the worksheets, and I've started picking up the worksheets and doing them again myself, and actually shared it with a friend last week, so hoping to be able to share this process. And, you know, I realized over the years of doing the work that, you know, it's a process. You know, we all have tools that we can use, and this is a tool to clear out that crap, you know. And I have a couple of sayings. Life is light interacting with form and energy, and love is light overflowing as vital energy. And getting to that space of love, of experiencing that energy in your body as that, you know, that glowing part of your body, the worksheet process is one of the ways to get there. And just wanted to compliment you guys on keeping this work viable and alive.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad to hear you're back to listening and doing worksheets. I know that it's probably going to be a tremendous benefit in your life.
Well, of course, you know, it's like, you know, you drop some things a while and then you pick them back up again. After a while, you realize the benefit of doing the process, you know. So,
so you're saying that's what's happening for you?
Yeah, in some respects, yes. Of, you know, not doing it.
I was kind of highlighting the fact that you were saying you were talking about me rather than using the I statements.
Oh, I don't.
Right?
I'm not sure what I'm hearing you say, but anyway, whatever.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, if you say it from the I perspective, it will have more benefit in your life. If you own the fact that you have been away from this, and you will benefit more if you pick up the tools, it will resonate differently if you watch your regulatory speech and have it show you that, oh, you're still distancing yourself from this. You're still distancing yourself from owning your emotions because you're making you statements instead of I statements.
Okay.
And it will give you something to focus on.
So what you're trying to say is, I need to say it like this. I find that not having done this for a while and picking it up again, the value and benefit of doing the work. Does that resonate better with you?
Well, does it resonate better for you is the question.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you will probably find that whatever issues made you decide to move away from the work, you'll be giving yourself permission to look at those issues and then open them up to the worksheet process or mind shifters or breath work because you're staying focused on yourself.
Great.
All right. Well, we're down to the last 90 seconds, so thank you for the call, Richard. It's good to hear your voice. Haven't heard you in quite a while.
Yeah,
and,
well, be well and have Merry Christmas and hope things get resolved with the vehicle situation.
Well, we know
Richard.
They will.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Jeannie. And however it works out, please send your love and positive thoughts and prayers. And we look forward to being here tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, and maybe Jeannie will be here, maybe not, but we'll hold you in a space of love, Jeannie, and we welcome everybody to come back tomorrow, and in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.